Today is Passion Sunday, and here are the announcements. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. There will not be adult catechism class this evening. Tomorrow there will be the normal daily Masses at 7:20 and 8:30 a.m. And for those who volunteer, there'll be the cleaning of the chapel tomorrow after the 8:30 Mass. This Friday, we will have at 7 p.m. Stations of the Cross, followed by benediction and hearing of confessions. The Easter collection envelopes are available in the vestibule. We want to thank all of you who donated and assisted us at the bake sale last Sunday. And the final opportunity to receive the Sacrament of Penance before Easter will be next Saturday and next Sunday. If you wish to donate for the Easter lilies, please sign the paper on the bookcase. And the donation you can put in the alms box on the opposite wall in the vestibule. Our novena to St. Joseph continues today to prepare for the feast this Tuesday. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and the High Mass will be at 9 a.m. There will be an earlier Mass for special needs, and that'll be at 7 a.m., and it will be in the Blessed Mother Shrine. We've been doing that for about 10 years because there is a lot to prepare for the Palm Sunday ceremony. And so the Mass for the people with special needs will be in the Blessed Mother Shrine. Holy Thursday, the Mass, High Mass, and all the liturgy of Holy Thursday will be at 5 p.m. Now, this is Holy Week, so it's Holy Thursday is March 28th. And March 29th, the liturgy is at 3 p.m. Holy Saturday, Easter Vigil, March 30th. Begins at 9:30 p.m. And then Easter Sunday, March 31st, the High Mass will be at 10 a.m. These are all on the bulletin board and they'll be on our website. But just so you know ahead of time, so that you will do everything possible to assist at Mass and the liturgies of Holy Week. So last Sunday, Father McMahon read the announcement. We'll read it again. On Tuesday, day after tomorrow, March 19th, it is the Feast of St. Joseph. And we are having a special Mass and ceremony here at our chapel at 9 a.m. That will be the only Mass open available on that day. There'll be no earlier Masses. There'll be no benediction on that day, just the 9 a.m. Mass. You are invited to attend. We cannot give any more details at this time, but we believe you'll be disappointed if you are not present. We ask, if you've not done so already, to sign your name on the papers, sign-up sheets in the waiting room. We are planning to have at the entrances on that day and around the chapel security personnel to make sure everything is in order. There will be guests from out of town and limited seating. So you will, it doesn't matter if you've been coming here for 50 years or 1 week, your name has to be on those sheets to come to that Mass. Now, if you are liturgically aware, you will notice the crucifix is not veiled. None of the statues are veiled. We've been veiling the statues here in Colorado Springs at our chapels since 1977. It's always veiled for Passion Sunday. It's a custom that goes back to the early church. The main reason it connects to, liturgically, there was the iconostasis. It was a gate, barrier, veils, a bit large drape, different over the centuries, different churches. The main purpose of the veiling of the statues and images, and especially the crucifix, is because, as you know, at the end of the gospel, it said our Lord hid himself because his enemies, the religious leaders who, for the most part, rejected him, hated him, told him he was possessed of the devil, insulted him to his face. Our Son of God permitted that. And days later, he allowed himself to be arrested by them and to be put to death by their evil plot, their conspiracy to kill the Son of God. Because of their hatred and because they were, and the haters of Christ today are, not followers of God. Their leader is Lucifer. They say it. They worship him, the father of lies. Every lie that anyone ever tells. Did you hear someone say, or if you have the misfortune of telling a lie, that is the work of Lucifer. So never tell a lie. Well, because of the greatness of the Feast of St. Joseph, the Mass, and the special ceremony, it would be incongruous to have this sanctuary veiled and in a presentation of sorrow. It is a monumental work. Seminarians know, the altar boys who know, it's a monumental work to veil every image, statues, crucifix in this chapel. So it will be done Wednesday after the Masses. And the reason, just so you know, the reason they are, it takes so much time, it's not just veiling, but each image has its own proper veil, but it has to be placed in such a way that it is easily removed at the Easter Vigil. So it's very scientifically and carefully planned, and it cannot be done and then taken off and then put on again. But that's it. That is why you see everything still revealed for this 1 year. There has been great preparation for this Feast of St. Joseph. He has been our protector and our patron. After the Blessed Virgin Mary, he is the greatest of all saints. He is the husband, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It has always been believed that he was sanctified in the womb, as like St. John the Baptist. So he was born without sin, not conceived without sin, but born without sin. Because he represented God the Father Almighty on earth to be the Father of the Son of God. He has protected us. He's protected his church, but especially our community for nearly 50 years. And that's why this special Mass is being held on his feast day. More will be said on his feast day by one of the other priests. But you may be familiar with this booklet, Favorite Prayers to St. Joseph. And this is the booklet for decades that our Father Superior has used to read out loud at our novena for the priests, the seminarians, and the sisters. We've been doing it without fail. By the grace of God, of course. He is our patron, but he is also your patron. Listen to these invocations from the litany. Chaste guardian of the Virgin, head of the Holy Family, Joseph, most just, chaste, prudent, and strong. People are afraid of the devil, of Lucifer. Lucifer trembles. He's a little worm before the feet of Saint Joseph. Did you know that? Because one of the invocations is terror of demons. They're afraid of him because he stands for God. He stands for the Blessed Virgin Mary. He stands for Holy Mother the Church. He protects and defends and watches over those who are his clients, who are faithful to him, faithful to the Catholic Church, faithful to Catholic doctrine, complete Catholic doctrine. Not the enemies inside and out of the church who promote immorality, sacrilegious Holy Communion, no repentance of sin. Those are God's enemies. They are followers of the devil. Do you think I'm exaggerating? Do you think Father Kacher is speaking over the top? No, it's far more than even what I'm saying. That's why we are here. That's why we have the special Mass in honor of St. Joseph on Tuesday. Here is a small prayer from the booklet here in honor of St. Joseph. O blessed St. Joseph, tender-hearted father, faithful guardian of Jesus, chaste spouse of the Mother of God, we pray and beseech thee to offer to God the Father his divine Son, bathed in blood on the cross for sinners, and through thy thrice holy name, Jesus, obtain for us from the Eternal Father the favor we implore. Appease the divine anger so justly inflamed by our crimes. Beg of Jesus mercy for thy children amid the splendors of eternity. Forget not the sorrows of those who suffer, those who pray, those who weep. Stay the almighty arm which smites us, that by thy prayers and those of thy most holy spouse, the heart of Jesus may be moved to pity and to pardon. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. So we hope that this prayer inspires you to pray to him, to have more devotion, to root out in these last days, these last 2 weeks of Lent, to root out what offends God, the sins, the vices. That's what this Mass is for. That is what a attendance at any Mass is for. Now, before we read the Epistle and Gospel, we do have to speak about other saints. Now, culturally, there may be among the top three or five, no greater or more popular saint than Saint Patrick. Today's his feast day. Even though it is not celebrated, it's still his feast day. So we have to say a few words about him. Because if I don't, the Irish people in our community, I will hear the wrath from. So in the 5th century, it's like over 1,500 years ago, to convert to God, to bring the gospel to people who had not even had it yet, the peoples of the northern part of Europe, the northern lands are called, especially the Germanic tribes, and the Franks. God raised up this man, Patrick, Saint Patrick, to preach the gospel to the pagans. There are many stories of saints who, when they faced the pagans, the idols, the caves that were inhabited by the devil, where there is voodoo and pagan worship and terrible sacrifices, they boldly went in and tore them down and destroyed them. You know Father Damien, the priest of about 100 years ago, who went to Hawaii as a missionary to convert the people on the island of Molokai. As you know, the state of Hawaii, but back then it was a country, a separate country. It's several islands, many islands. And there's one of Molokai. Back then, all the people who were infected with leprosy were isolated there. Terrible wasting disease. And they had no one to help them spiritually. So Father Damien went there to help these people. And they, even with their illness and disease, which is a, in case you haven't read it in your catechism, suffering, disease, sickness are punishments for sin, our sins, and the sins of mankind. Even in the midst of their terrible condition, they, inside of a cave, set up these idols and altars and objects to worship the devil. Often, in case you didn't know, in countries in Central America, but especially in parts of Louisiana, Haiti, the country of Haiti, and other countries, they have a mixture of Catholic practices, like praying for the souls of the dead, souls in purgatory, but it's also mixed with devotion to the devil. Some voodoo religions pray to St. Barbara. They have a great devotion to St. Barbara. So you can see that's the classic practice of the devil, to mix truth with error. Well, anyway, St. Damien went in and he saw what's going on. He went in and vigorously destroyed everything in that cave. And it frightened the people, but they respected him. He taught them the catechism. And little by little, he gained their confidence. And you know why? Because he was not afraid to be around them when they were sick and had this disease, which isn't as contagious as it was thought, but it does spread. He became one of them, even though he was not infected. And they became dedicated to him, and then after some time, he eventually contracted leprosy. And then he knew, and his people knew, now we are one. Because I am suffering like you. The leprosy is almost like a badge of honor, because I can now suffer like you do. Great priest. And he had, as you may know the story, no other priest to live with. It's not good for priests to live alone. He could rarely go to the sacrament of penance. He'd offer his mass, but he very seldom could go to confession, the sacrament that is so easy for us to receive at this chapel. So a few times a year there'd be a ship from United Kingdom or America that would deliver supplies, and there was a priest on board that ship that wanted to visit Father Damien and hear his confession. The captain of the ship said to that priest, "You cannot leave the ship, because if you do, you will not be allowed to get back on, because you might contract leprosy and we will not have our shipmates infected." So what did Father Damien do? He took a small boat, rowed out near the base of the ship, and the priest on the deck started the words of absolution to prepare him. And Father Damien, out loud, he had to shout out his confession. "Bless me, Father, for I have sinned." And he said his sins in front of the entire crew who were on the railing. He was that humble, but how much he loved that sacrament. The priest gave him absolution. And then the ship left. Do you know that every man on that ship, from the captain to the lowest member of the crew, Catholic or non-Catholic, kept, preserved the seal of confession. They revered it, as we do. Priest is never allowed to say anything of what he hears in the confessional, because he represents Jesus Christ. He's the instrument of Christ. And this is exactly what St. Patrick did. For 33 years, he went all over the country of Ireland, setting up churches and monasteries and schools. And it was known in the Middle Ages as the Island of Saints, because there's so many saints from that island, that country of Ireland. He died in 461. Now, this account that I'm reading or referring to was written in the 1940s. It says here, for 15 centuries, Ireland has maintained its Catholic faith, and nothing has been able to lessen its devotion to St. Patrick, which Irishmen have carried with their faith to every part of the world. March 17th is still a great national holiday and a feast of obligation in Ireland. How sad. This isn't true anymore. Maybe once every year or two there is one ordination in Ireland. The faith is dead in Ireland. Virtually nobody goes to even the Novus Ordo. There's no Latin Mass. There's just a few people, but the country is virtually dead in terms of Catholic faith. Thank you to the modernist heretics and the haters of Jesus Christ and the haters of the Catholic Church. But you pray to St. Patrick today for what he stood for. March 18th, on Wednesday, is the feast of St. Cyril of Jerusalem. And he was, like St. Patrick, a bishop and a confessor. How about how great to be the Bishop of Jerusalem? But he declared a doctor of the church and was opposed and exiled by the heretics of his time, the Arians, who denied the divinity of Christ, because he would preach the doctrine. He would teach the people. And then enemies didn't like that. So they would force him away by guards, troops, whatever, and so he'd be forced out to save his life. It depends on the grace of God. There are countless stories from our Lord's time to this very day where Pope, Bishop, or Priest, do you stay with the flock and in your church to suffer martyrdom? Or do you hide and flee for a while and then come back to save your flock? Can be both or either one. Because even our Lord himself hid himself for a while and he came back. So did St. Peter. He was leaving Jerusalem and then he was told to return, that he will die in the city of Jerusalem like our Lord. Finally, March 21st, St. Benedict These are some huge, great saints. St. Benedict's statue is right there holding the cup with a raven, black raven, on his image. He's the founder of Western monasticism. In fact, most religious orders in the Western Church, meaning Europe and North and South America, are based on the rule of St. Benedict. In fact, our rule, our constitutions, are based on the rule of St. Benedict. Some of you may think, especially those outside these walls may think, but Servants Holy Family, they're just a small community in Colorado Springs. There are five priests, three seminarians, maybe about 150 people. Where are they against what's happening? They're so insignificant. That's fine. We like to be hidden, like St. Joseph and the Blessed Virgin Mary. But make no mistake about it. You know, this chapel is the house of God and the gate of heaven. And what we stand for, our Catholic faith, will not be trifled with. Those who hate us, attack us, will suffer terrible punishment. They already have. The people, you may have heard the stories, but it's worth telling again. I entered this community in August of 1977. The community came here in February of 1977. After leaving the Society of St. Pius X in the previous month, so January of 1977, they left the Society of St. Pius X. And there was a lot of controversy, but they were, for about 6 weeks, living in a rural area of northern Michigan until being invited by the Catholics here in Colorado Springs, the traditional Catholics. While they were there, Father Ward, and there were at that time 12 seminarians, they were surviving in this very simple home, primitive, of an elderly woman. And Novosardo prelates, hypocritical traditional priests, and evil laymen conspired to attack Father and the seminarians. So it was planned. They sent three men to break into the house where they were staying. And they just about did. They were forcing the door down. It was a violent situation. They're trying to attack and maybe kill Father. It's just a fact. And the seminarians defended Father and themselves, and those three men did not get in. A year or two later, after that happened, Father Ward, by the way, said, "We have to leave. This is not safe for us." So they packed everything up in two U-Haul trucks and came to Colorado Springs by the gracious invitation of the Catholics here, traditional Catholics. Not the local bishop. Not him. A few years later, after we were here, and I had entered the community, over a few months, word came out what happened to those three men who pretended to be Father's friends, but then tried to attack him, or worse. One of them was arrested by the IRS and went to jail for tax evasion, whatever else. Before he went to jail, some thugs beat him up terribly. He was disfigured. The second man, he went home, and his wife, and he had about 8 or 10 children, left him, separated from him, and he was not allowed in the house. He lost everything. And the third one had, not knowing many details, but he was severely punished, and he had other terrible sufferings, physical. And one of them wrote back a letter, a note to Father saying, "Dear Father, many regrets. How about I'm sorry?" The reason I say that is because God protects those whom He loves and who are faithful to Him, who are striving. Saint Benedict saw the corruption and the immorality in Rome in his time, which was in the 5th and 6th century, and he left it. He said, "I cannot live here." So he went to a high mountain cave, Subiaco, which some of us had the privilege of visiting. But his reputation for holiness was so great that men wanted to follow his example. And eventually women, so their communities started. To live in the world but not to be of it. And the Benedictines, before the travesty of Vatican II, they were one of the most populous religious orders. And their order is designed to assist the diocese, the priest, the bishop, and whatever need is necessary. So they teach. They have monasteries. Some are monks. Some work in hospitals. They have all these different vocations. So what did these great saints have in common? Saint Patrick, Saint Cyril of Jerusalem, Saint Benedict. They were not afraid. Maybe they have feelings. Everybody has fear once in a while in the face of opposition or attack. But they said, "I'm going to stand up. I'm not going to back down. I want to save my soul, but more importantly, I have to defend the honor of God. I have to defend the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Eucharist. I have to stand up for the Blessed Virgin Mary." We still get in the physical newspaper of the Brooklyn Diocese in New York. It's called The Tablet. It came in this last week, and guess what was on the cover? Not hidden away, but prominently proud of what's going on there in that diocese. That's Brooklyn was, in before Vatican II, it was the wealthiest diocese in the United States, one maybe in the whole world, because it had 2 to 3 million Catholics and unbelievable amount of churches, seminaries. On the cover this last week of that newspaper, it is the priests, the bishop of the auxiliary bishop of the diocese, and the priests doing their Novus Ordo ritual, and they're doing offerings to relatives ancestors. That's pagan practices. They've been doing that, the pagans, before Christ and throughout the last 2,000 years. Religions, they do that. They have food offerings to their ancestor. It's called ancestor worship. And the priest is doing this. The bishop is doing this. It's a disgrace. That is sacrilege. And no one says anything. Did you hear about it? Did the Pope condemn it? No. So we need holiness in the church. That's why we have these providentially, you can say for today, these saints are exposed for us. You can pray to them a little more fervently until they're covered on Wednesday. So you can say to St. Joseph, help me, St. Joseph, help me to be humble. Help me to be pure and chaste. Help me to be devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary, your spouse. St. Peter, you can pray to him and you can say, his image is in that shrine. Dear St. Peter, after you denied our Lord three times, you had great sorrow for your sins, and God gave you the grace to change the world. Help me in my condition to do the same. St. Teresa, Child Jesus, second statue here. You are, by the Pope's declaration, dear St. Teresa, you are the greatest saint of modern times. Help me to be a true and faithful child of God. St. Mary Magdalene in the back. Dear St. Mary Magdalene, as you know, St. Mary Magdalene, we are tempted with many evil influences in our world, especially immorality and pornography and impurity. And you fell yourself with those sins, but you turned your life around. Help me to hold my cross as you did. You held the cross of Christ while he died on the cross. Help me to be sorry for my sins. Blessed Virgin Mary, mediatrix of all graces, give me the grace to be a faithful child, to be like you, to follow my fiat. In other words, may it be done, whatever God wills of me. Help me to do that. And then finally, Holy Infant Jesus of Prague, I adore you, and I thank thee for all your favors. Everything that happens, by the way, on this property, in this chapel, everything is due to him, the infant Jesus. If you pray with confidence and great desire and humility, then you have nothing to be afraid of. You'll have peace of soul even in the midst of sufferings and contradictions. And you'll be given the grace to persevere, not to get dragged down or bogged down by faults, sins, evil things in the world. Just keep forging ahead. So we will end our words. We had some comments and points of doctrine about Passion Sunday. But in these circumstances, we felt you needed to hear what I said. It takes the priority. All you have to remember is make yourself completely united to our Lord Jesus Christ, crucified, who died on the cross after great suffering for our sins. May God bless you.